Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bills now, as I look, plus 400 to win the Super Bowl. Separation. Baltimore still the second choice. I mean, who should be the second choice? The Eagles, maybe? That's how it looks. 3 weeks into the season, the Bills have separated in this particular area and in the standings. Two games up on the Ravens and Chiefs. Of course, they've beaten the Ravens, and the Ravens and Chiefs meet Sunday as the Bills play New Orleans, who they are favored to beat by 16.5. Anyway, on the line with us now, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross, do I sound a little cocky here with respect to the Bills and how the season has started?
I don't know. I think you sound a little bit surprised and or amused. Intrigued that there's separation, that the Bills are that significant of a favorite already this year.
You know, no, I wouldn't say surprised. I mean, I wouldn't at all say surprised based on how the season has gone to this point. I didn't expect them to just run away with the league, though, or even just the conference. I mean, that's the story so far, isn't it? Now you've got the Ravens and Chiefs playing each other in week four, and the loser goes to 1-3. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's more surprising that Baltimore and KC are in the situations they're in than that the Bills are 3-0 and look great, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I think if you are a Bills fan, you should be excited that they took care of business and that the Ravens and Chiefs have both lost multiple times and that you have an absolutely golden opportunity to get the number one seed, which, as we've talked about every week, is imperative. And I think because of that, that is why the Bills have the best Super Bowl odds, because right now it appears as if they'll have, you know, the easiest path right now to get to the Super Bowl. The flip side is, you know, they were outplayed by Baltimore. And then they beat two of the worst five teams in the Ross Tucker Football Podcast power ranking and probably didn't look all that impressive in doing it against Miami at home. And two out of the three games, their defense has left a lot to be desired. Now the flip side is no Milano, no Ed Oliver, I get that. But, you know, like pretty much anything in our society these days. If you pay me $100 to sell you on why the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl, I could easily do that. If you pay me $100 to tell you why the Bills aren't going to win the Super Bowl, I could do that too. Just let me know what you want.
What would that sound like? Like, would the explanation for why they won't win be like last year's or previous years, where you might not think you can trust them in a big spot, or is it something else?
Yeah, I think the explanation for why they won't win the Super Bowl would be that they're not good enough defensively. You know, to have the Miami Dolphins convert that many third downs against you is troubling, especially in your home stadium when your fans were going crazy. And then, you know, if the Dolphins – you know, like if Zach Sealer doesn't lose his mind and for some reason run into the punter.
Yeah.
Dolphins have the ball in a tie game, you know, with a chance to take the lead. Now, this is the NFL, and that happens and whatever. But, you know, Dolphins, there's a reason why they haven't won a game. There's a reason why the Jets haven't won a game. And the Ravens showed once again last night, and which is probably encouraging for Bills fans, and it should be, that they have some defensive issues themselves. But, you know, we all saw sort of how fortunate the Bills were to win that game. You know, it's funny. Ultimately, none of that really matters. You know, like what really matters is that they get the number one seed, which they have a great chance to do. And then in those two games in January against really good teams, they play well enough to win those close games. And I feel like I can't say I don't trust them, because I trust Josh and I trust, you know, their ability. Like when they beat the Ravens last year, you know, they've shown that they can do it. And this might be the best chance that they've ever had to beat the Chiefs. Although, I feel like we've said that a bunch of years, and then we get to January, and somehow the Chiefs are still, you know, formidable. And I'm pretty confident they'll figure something out.
I don't think we'll want to spend all of our time today on the Bills game, because it was so long ago now and so much has happened since, with a full slate of games on Sunday and Monday, Ross. But the one thing I would say about their defense that I'm encouraged about, because it looks a lot like last year so far. Can't get out the field on third downs. Pass rush is inconsistent. I mean, Joey Bosa had a great day against the Jets, but couldn't seem to really get to Tua, and Tua got out of there more effectively than I think I'm used to seeing him get out of there anyway. But I feel like there's reinforcements coming. I've got Hoyt coming off a suspension. Ogunjobi too, but Hoyt is more for the pass rush. And I also have rookie interior linemen, one of whom made a couple of really nice plays, Walker, in the game that you were at on Thursday. The other one, Sanders, is still very much, to me, out at sea. But I feel like Walker especially could be a guy that as the year goes on, like if his curve goes up, and he doesn't crash into some rookie wall or something, that there's the potential for him to even have more impact in December than he's having right now. And he's already having a decent impact. So I feel like there's more there. Hairston is on IR, their number one pick at corner. Like, there's supplements coming that last year didn't really exist.
You know, I think I forgot about some of those guys. It's like when they're on suspension. You know, I'm talking about a lot of teams every week.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're on suspension, you kind of like lose track of them. And I shouldn't, because I had Michael Hoyt on the Ross Tucker podcast this offseason. He's an Ivy League guy, a Brown guy, and he's awesome. Loved his personality. So I love that they're getting those two guys back, because that's probably where they need help as much as any, is just continue. You know, there's like an arms race on the D-line. Like, you know, and you can say about any roster position, blah, 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 but it does feel like it's more pronounced on the defensive line than anywhere else. I think, A, everybody saw what the Eagles did in the playoffs last year in the Super Bowl, but they realized it's kind of the only position that's like hockey, where you're really rolling through, like, hey, let's bring in a whole other line here, mm-hmm. and make a line change. And so having 8, 9 guys really matters. So I think that's encouraging. I will be curious. I mean, if you think about it, Hairston, Ogunjobi, Hoyt, that's probably 3 of the guys that they've made, you know, top 8, top 10 investments in on that side of the ball, you know, financially. And then I could not agree more about Deion Walker. You know, I tweeted right as that game ended at Ross Tucker NFL, or was about to end, that is an awesome 4th-round pick. Awesome. Now, you know, there's a reason why he was a 4th-round pick,
mm-hmm.
and there are always concerns people have, weight and whatever. You know, Tavondre Sweat was a 2nd-round pick for the Titans last year. He was a weight-issue guy who played very well last year. He's gotten hurt already this year, and, you know, I don't know that he built on his rookie year, I guess, would be the best way to describe that. But Walker looked pretty lean. I mean, it's objectively hilarious to me that they have him listed at 330. There's no chance. But he made some impressive plays, not only against the run, but then I think he got a fingertip on the Bernard interception. I mean, that does not happen, that you get a 6'7", 330-plus monster in the fourth round. So maybe the Bills greatly benefited from whatever his perceived issues were or are.
With Ross Tucker, insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. I'm going to indulge myself here. I'd like to hear you, Ross, on the Ivy League, sort of the pecking order, or sort of like your perspective on this. So a guy goes to Brown, that's the Ivy League. You know, we're all sort of brothers, I'm thinking you might think or say. I mean, are the Harvard guys the same as the Brown guys, or do we look sort of askew at the Harvard guys? You know, you're Princeton. What is there other than just like, yeah, we're all Ivy Leaguers, we're all one. Are there, you know, friends or enemies within that?
I want to take a quick guess before you answer, Russ, because you're obviously the expert on this. I feel like Harvard and Yale maybe are like over there, and the rest of the Ivy League is all like, we're all cool together.
No, that would be false.
Okay. Bad
so
guess.
So it's this is a good question, and this is a hard thing to answer tactfully. Or without, you know, acting like you're sticking my nose up or whatever. The best way to describe it would be that there's three of them are called the Big Three. And the Big Three, it's Harvard, Yale, Princeton. And the reality is it is very rare for someone to choose to go to one of the other Ivy League schools over Harvard, Yale, Princeton, right? So if you can imagine all the reasons why you would go to an Ivy League school in the first place, right? The academic reputation, the network, you know, the reason why everybody wants their kid to go to an Ivy League school, Harvard, Yale, and Princeton are that like on steroids. I remember I talked to the Cornell head coach one time, and he said, he stopped recruiting a kid as soon as he found out that they had the HYP virus because he knew that it was over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like it's really cool to tell people that your kid, you know, goes to Cornell and you're really proud of them. Harvard, Yale, and Princeton are another level. And I would say it's interesting because I got accepted early. I did early action at Harvard. And I got in, so I knew like October of my senior year of high school that I was in Harvard, which is just amazing because all my buddies in Reading, Pennsylvania are like sweating it with these state schools in Pennsylvania they're applying to. And they're like, dude, you're such a jerk. like they hated my guts. Like they're like sweating out Bloomsburg and Kutztown. And I'm home of Andre Reed and I'm already in Harvard, which is hilarious. By the way, the valedictorian of my high school did not get into Harvard or Princeton my year. I got into both, which is a whole other conversation. But, yeah, I mean, I think my guidance counselor said that because of the, like, the business school and the law school, that it's Harvard's probably, in terms of, like, public opinion or perception, probably, like, a even one tick above Yale, Princeton.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's like in the movies and stuff. I guess for me, though, I didn't really want to live in a city in college. Princeton won the Ivy League my junior high school in football, beat UCLA in basketball.
Yeah.
Princeton was an hour and a half away. I grew up going to Penn State and Notre Dame, which are like quintessential college towns. So there's a bunch of reasons why I chose Princeton over Harvard. And then, of course, we went there and didn't beat them one time in 4 years. But I can give you the stereotypes of all of them. Like, you know, we used to always say that Penn was the dirtbags when we were playing because they had some guys with like less than 1,000 SATs playing for them. So we would always call them the dirtbags and they would laugh and kind of admit it and say, yeah, guess what? We're Penn grads and we're going to get a nice job on Wall Street. Who cares? I have, like, I will say this. I have no idea when I come on the show with you guys,
right,
what we're going to get into. It's really unbelievable.
You love that. You said you like that, though.
I love it. I love it. I mean, I do four or five of these a day, and it's just refreshing. Like, every other one would be like, okay, Ross, what are you seeing from the offensive line? You know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay. Like, and that's fine, but I don't know. I think in life, people like a mix or a balance. I just think, you know, more people probably just learn something or thought my Ivy League stereotype diatribe was more entertaining than saying, you know, by the way, while we're talking about Ivy League, watch this. This is why I'm the best. Everybody should follow me on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. Watch me bring this all the way back to the Buffalo Bills. Which Bills rookie, Ivy Leaguer, is dominating and having a major impact on their team right now?
Well, by way of Georgia Tech, but yes, Jackson Hawes.
Yeah, so that is a big, big point of contention for me. I despise that these guys that go to an Ivy League school for 4 years and graduate, okay, then they go to some big school for a semester, which, by the way, I wouldn't blame them at all. I would do the same. I would have done the exact same thing. But it annoys the crap out of me that we now talk about them based on, like, the
– that Georgia Tech produced him. Right.
Like, he was at Georgia Tech for 6 months. You know, the kid that got drafted in the fourth round from Princeton that went to Iowa State for 6 months, he was at Iowa State for 6 months because they stay till the end of May to make sure they graduate, and they don't even go there till the summer. And then once their season's over, they go train for the draft. Like, we got to talk about Jackson Hawes as a Yale guy. We got it. Yeah. Like, it bugs the crap out of me. But, guys, I'm telling you, if you want to sound cool – or smart, and not you guys, that's hard for you two, but everybody listening, if you want to sound cool and smart, okay, talk about the impact that rookie tight end 85 Jackson Hawes has had on the run game and how he's a weapon, especially on outside zone, and he's enabled the Bills to have the same running attack they had when they were putting 70 Anderson out there, but he's more mobile and he gives them someone that can actually be a credible passing threat. Because I'm watching the game. Guys, he's taking like Jalen Phillips and Chop Robinson for rides, like for 5 yard rides, and then dumping them on their head. And I loved it. I mean, I don't love that he's a Yale guy. That's the other thing that's always weird, by the way, Bulldog, is it's like, I root for the other Ivy League guys, but I don't.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a brotherhood for, like, me and Fitzpatrick and, you know, the guys that were in the league together at the same time from the Ivy League, because you know how hard it is to do it, and you kind of have that kinship. So you kind of root for them, but then you're also, like, a little bit weirdly jealous, and you don't want it to be, you know,
right.
You want to be a Princeton guy, not a Yale guy or a Harvard guy.
Well, look, we're running out of time, and I definitely am not trying too hard to be cool here, but my initial volley here about the Ivy League and how it would shake out wasn't that far off. I said Harvard and Yale would be over there. I just left out your school, Princeton. But basically, you said those three are like the big three, and then it's the rest.
Now, so we don't like Yale.
I'm taking that as a win for myself.
Yeah, well, hold on a second, though. It's not a win. Because I went to Princeton, that's the only one that I care about.
Yeah.
And you put us in with the lower level.
The Browns.
I didn't. You corrected me, but I got two out of three. I'm taking some credit.
Ross,
you do what you need to do.
Let me just say this. I feel like it's pretty clear that Mike is more well-read and sophisticated than you.
Right.
And I'm going to assume that Mike knew about the Big Three and the Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and just didn't say anything.
Appreciate it. I know you have to go. Whatever you do think about that, you should also know Bulldog and I both bet Jackson Hawes to score against the Dolphins. So.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know you guys rolled like that.
A lot of people got fat on
us.
My idea on the pregame show, and a lot of folks got on board.
Nice. Love it.
Thank you, Ross. Goodbye.
All right. See you, boys.
Ross Tucker on the Wester Hotline.
There you go. His insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side.
He's the best.
Indeed. Yes.
I love that about Penn. Our old boss went to Penn. I have friends who went to Cornell. They're over there. The Cornell guys are over there. Mm-hmm. Brown is over. Columbia doesn't even get a mention.
No, poor Columbia.
Poor Columbia. Just forget it. And then who do we leave out? Who's the eighth school? I can't even think of it right now. But
is it Dartmouth?
Dartmouth, of course. Yes, thank you. Dartmouth. Right, just who? The Hawes thing, he is right.
He is manhandling linemen. Yes. I mean, not defensive tackles, but that would be pretty ridiculous. But still, defensive ends, he's killing it. And I haven't really thought about Alec Anderson at all. And it just turns out, like you said it last week, in the run-up to this game, or maybe even the day after the game, we talked to Sal about it. Like, right away, draft day, there's Sal with, like, this guy's going to mean something to them. And that was easy to – it's after the draft. Oh, sure, okay, whatever. And here we are 3 weeks into the season. And, yeah, like the – I think I said on Friday that the tight ends overall, outside of Allen – I mean, Allen's incredible. I think the tight ends are the story of their season so far. Kincaid is blocking great, and his passing game metrics are fantastic too.
It's so interesting. I mean, anybody who has wanted – the Bills to be more physical and more run oriented, sign James Cook, lean into the run game, all that stuff. This is it. This is what you wanted. Like, they're doing it. And Hawes is a part of that. Tyrell Shavers even is a part of that, you know, as a wide receiver. Offensive line is just very stable and excellent. And like, that's your team. And Baltimore isn't really that. Like, Baltimore can break runs, but they're not really that. Like, Detroit almost owned them up front. Like, 7 sacks on Lamar Jackson? How? And then Kansas City absolutely isn't this. So, right now, Allen, Jackson, Mahomes, you know, pick your favorite. They're all elite. They're all going to be all-time greats. But the Bills have this, and the other teams don't. And then Baltimore on defense is a kind of a mess. 803-0550, Ravens and Chiefs Sunday, Bills huge favorites. How do you see it? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll look for your calls as we return here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell when these guys are using those hands, anchoring down, fighting pressure with pressure. This is with them implementing stuff that they've learned in practice on the game field, and then also what they're able to do in the twist game, right? What I see as an offensive lineman is what you want to do is you want to make sure when you're passing off twists to keep the defensive lineman on the same plane. That way you don't get your buddy picked and you don't create a muddy pocket. And what the Bills are being able to do is sink these twists. They're not quite getting home, but they're sniffing the quarterback now, and I'm telling you, that makes a huge difference, and it will make a huge difference as they progress these twist games and get more comfortable working with each other.
Mitch Morse, former Bills center, on with Eric Wood. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. I'm seeing that the Heisman Trophy favorite, John Mateer, is having hand surgery. They're not going to like that on Bet Sweats.
Mm.
Watch for the tweets from Sam and Joe, because they were on him. Mm-hmm. A long time ago, and now he's the favorite. But the head coach of the Sooners, says he will have surgery tomorrow, an injury from the Auburn game, and he'll hopefully be back later this season.
Ooh, that doesn't sound like a Heisman Trophy winning campaign.
That's tough.
Yeah, that is tough.
You know, this is just like, I don't know, is this what makes it fun? Fantasy and betting, is this what makes it fun? Like, if you had that, he doesn't have to win, but he is now the favorite.
To have it go that well, to for you to have found your way to him, built a construct in your head, like, this is going to work, this is why I'm going to bet it, I like this number, I like his opportunity, the conference, the schedule, whatever, right? Put it all together, come out with, I'm going to bet this, and it starts to go well enough that he becomes the favorite, and then that happens, that I don't think that qualifies as fun.
No,
I do not think that qualifies as fun.
No, it does not. It's not fun.
I did not enjoy watching Derrick Henry get stopped three times, from the 1 yard line last night, having already scored a touchdown, sitting on a bet with him needing two touchdowns and Gibbs needing two touchdowns, which Gibbs ultimately got after that sequence where Henry got stopped. But holy cow, come on. Give it to him again. Come on. What is happening? I didn't enjoy that.
There's lots of ways to lose.
Yeah.
There are lots of ways to lose.
Yep.
And sometimes you just throw your hands up because, like, hey, well, I was wrong about this. I had Marvin Harrison. This is not true of me. I'm just like hypothetically. I had Marvin Harrison going for 130 yards against San Francisco, and he went for 9. Like, well, right. He dropped an easy one and just dropped one in the end zone. Just okay. Well, whoops.
Yep.
That's a loss. But when you lose on an injury or whatever else that's sort of random, that doesn't sit well. I mean, this is fantasy. Like we all kind of acknowledge it. When you're drafting all year, you know it's almost like a drug. I mean, the drafts are so much fun, but you know that there's so much outside of your control that you really have to hit the nuts to win.
Yeah, yeah.
And like my favorite draft pick this year in the first round was not Brian Thomas Jr., who so far this year has been terrible, was not Ashton Jeanty, who so far this year has been terrible, was not even Justin Jefferson, who's been okay, but not what you're paying for, was not Nico Collins, who has like two good plays, was not, you know, Drake London. I drafted some of all these guys, but my favorite was not even Ja'Marr Chase. If you got the 101 and you're drafting constantly, you drafted Ja'Marr Chase because this was your only chance to get Ja'Marr Chase, and maybe he's that, maybe mm-hmm. he's all that. Was not my favorite pick, was not Saquon Barkley, who's at 3.3 yards per carry on a 3-0 Eagles team. None of those guys. My favorite, easily my favorite first-round pick in fantasy this year was CeeDee Lamb, who through two games, although did not score a touchdown, but 100-yard games, it was everything. I was right.
And now he's hurt.
Now he's got a high ankle sprain.
He's going to miss a month, probably.
And he had the nerve to suffer that injury after the game started, but right away, so it's 0 in week 3.
Yeah.
How rude.
That works out well.
That was my favorite pick in the first round. Mm. I nailed it, and he's gone for a month. Why do we play? This is one of those. I don't bet for the Heisman Trophy. I don't even vote for the Heisman Trophy anymore. But why do we play? There's really nothing else we could do that's better with our time and money than this.
Yeah.
There's really right. nothing else. Shouldn't right. I just be buying silver?
Right.
Really? I mean, there's no drafting silver. There's just buying it.
How much do I want to divulge here? This bet yesterday I made was Lions money line, Henry 2 touchdowns, Gibbs 2 touchdowns.
Pretty good.
I got to it. I had X amount of dollars left in my account, and I was determined to not put any more in for a while because I've been losing a lot. And so I didn't even hit on the Jackson Hawes idea. My idea, Jackson Hawes, on our pregame show, and I didn't win on it because I coupled it with a bunch of other junk that didn't happen. So I didn't even get the $130 or whatever I could have got if I would have put, you know, $10 on it. I almost did, and I did. Anyway, because I'm an idiot. So I got XML. I'm like, I was going to build a parlay for this, and if it doesn't hit, then that's it for a while. And that's what I did. And I came back. Henry, 3 carries from the 1 yard line. Derrick Henry.
Yep.
What are the odds if he's getting the ball 3 times in a row from the 1 yard line that he's not scoring? I mean,
they're not zero.
Right. Right.
We know that now.
But wow. But that's how I stumbled to that out of almost frustration. It's not, again, it's horrible process. You shouldn't bet that way. But that's what I did. Last night before the game started, just like, oh, I guess, okay, I'm just going to let me do this. Fine. Now I'm going dark for a little while. I'll wait until they come chasing.
Saying that
again.
They're
going to come calling me for like, hey, here's some stuff. Come on back. And then, you know, I'll come back because, you know, I'm a slave.
You're going to resist the temptation to bet on a Sabres revenge game tonight.
Yeah.
Or Blue Jackets.
A Blue Jackets revenge game tonight, yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
I did go into my lineups. I don't know. Like, I was thinking about, this is almost like within the last point. What was I the most wrong about? I wasn't wrong about CeeDee Lamb. I was right about CeeDee Lamb. It wasn't even that hard. You know, of all the great picks, great players going into this season, he was like my favorite, and he was doing great, and he got hurt. I don't know. I'm kind of done with Marvin Harrison, I think. I'm fed up. You mm-hmm. see the one he dropped? Like, he's alone. There's nobody within 10 yards of him on, like, a 30-yard pass from Murray in San Francisco, and he jumps. Like, I used to tell my son, stop jumping for the ball. You don't need to. Like, just catch it. Just stay right on the ground and catch it. Now, if you're playing football, you want to out-jump somebody that's all over you, okay. Nobody's on Harrison. Anyway, not even the right point. He jumps, and he tries to catch the ball, like, in the bucket, and he drops it. And there's nobody else in the frame.
Mm.
Like, that's Marvin Harrison. He also dropped a touchdown, which was much harder. But, like, I just went into it's Tuesday, you sort of wake up, and here's all your results, here's everything. And I just went into my lineups, and I just hate-benched Marvin Harrison everywhere.
Yeah,
I just decided, like, I'm not good. For 2 days, you're off. Like, I might get to Thursday. They play Thursday night. I might get to Thursday and be like, I got to play him.
It says,
for 2 days, you're on the bench.
You're right. I'm trying to send a message.
I'm sending a message.
I love that two of the what sound like the most disappointing receivers in all of fantasy football land are proud members of Tunsil's Gas Mask. I've got both Marvin Harrison Jr. and Brian Thomas Jr.
Well,
stop drafting juniors.
And Harold Fannin.
And Harold Fannin. That, well, that was a pivot from because of injuries, Kittle. But yeah, we Gibbs last night that came through. I mean, we got
Gibbs
there
is
with
great.
We're on the board.
He is great.
Yes, he is.
That's a great running back.
Yes,
because he does. Like, I don't know. It's probably a little bit of a stereotype thinking that, well, they have Montgomery. They're Sonic and Knuckles, right?
Right.
They have Montgomery, so when they're goal to go, they won't even need or use Gibbs, but they do.
Right.
And it's like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
2 touchdowns last night, as you know. Here's Charlie with us. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
You know you have the best sports show. I'm a frequent caller, and a few months ago I was calling about James Cook during the middle of the contract negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
And my point was that James Cook, pound for pound, is doing much what O.J. Simpson did his first 2 years under John Rauch, before Lou Saban finally got there and said, this man deserves 22 touches a game. He was deploying O.J. Simpson as a kind of flanker almost. Now, my point about James Cook is this. I told you guys that James Cook was worth every single penny to pay him his contract, and don't BS around about it. Give him his mm-hmm. money because he's deserving. He is right now showing you pound for pound he's the best runner in football, with only 12 touches a game. He's making it happen. He's the touchdown leader. He's a 1,000-yard rusher, and he is up there with Thurman Thomas, O.J. Simpson, and Cookie Gilchrist. And my point is this. I was right about that. James Cook needed that contract, and we shouldn't have taken so long to pay the man. But thank God that he did. Let's go win the Super Bowl now. The Bills mean business. We're going 15-2, and then we're going to win the whole Super Bowl. Thank you very much.
Sounds great, Charlie. Yeah. I've said already a few times since Thursday, it's getting a lot harder to support the, like, anybody can do what he does.
Not to me.
He's made some elite plays this year, I think. So I can eat it a little bit. If Mike doesn't want to, I will. He looks great. And Ray Davis is a ghost.
Right now he is. Do you really need to invoke OJ? That's where you lose reasonable people.
It's a bit,
like,
much.
Yeah, he did, sure. The same guy did it in the summer, and you can't just in a sort of a normal way that people who are not Bills fans would sort of accept, to tell them how you think James Cook is really good. You have to link him to, like, one of the five best running backs in the history of the sport, arguably. Like, that's where you lose reasonable people, is to mention O.J. Simpson in the same breath. It's just nuts. He's doing really well. The system, the line, the surrounding talent has a lot.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not to do with it. He's not Jonathan Taylor. He's not Jahmyr Gibbs. He's not prime Saquon. You know, pound for pound, whatever that means. I don't need to weigh my running backs. I just need to find the best one that works for me. And he's doing well. But you lose your sense of normalcy, reality, sanity, in my opinion, when you sort of bring in the legends. Because you just don't need to do that. He's not OJ. Is that okay? I think it's okay.
I also agree with that.
He's not Christian McCaffrey or one of these. It doesn't have to be.
I don't want to stop you if you're not done.
I can be done.
I think it bears watching how he got 70-some% of the carries in the game on Thursday. And a part of this in the summer for us was, you know, I don't want to pay him and then therefore use him more because I'm paid to validate that I gave him a contract. I get that he's the best guy they've got right now, and Davis has not hit anything yet this year. Johnson's still in his same role, but be careful about using him that much. Because one of the things that separates him from Gibbs is not that big a guy either. But durability, I never wanted to see them get to a Barkley-esque snap share with this guy. And they're not, like, snap share is not quite there yet, but as far as, like, handles and, like, you know, touches, Thursday was hopefully an aberration, because I think they should be mindful of trying to keep him, you know, in one piece.
You know what else it is, I think, and I'm happy to have this conversation continue. I think what else it is, though, like, what did we have at the end of last year? Well, he's not even on the field when it mattered the most, and that was a close game. Like, they did use Cook late to, you know, help them get home. And I don't know what the Davis thing is, right? Like, is Davis different? Because
I don't know.
He's not getting what Cook is getting. And that's sort of the thesis of it all, is that Davis would, or anybody would, maybe not anybody, but I felt like Davis was sort of capable enough, and he didn't get the ball on Thursday night.
Right.
Once. Thanks, Charlie. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.